In the beginning, in the garden, everything was in union with God and in union with each other. There was total union. Since there is union within the Trinity, three distinct persons, but so in love with each other, so giving to each other that they are one. So when God creates outside of the Trinity, everything looks like that too, because God creates from God's self, from God's own experience. Sin enters into the world and division begins to happen. Adam and Eve, after their sin, hide from God. They were in communion with God before then, now they're hiding. Separateness is an invention of humanity through sin. It's not from God. From God, everything is unity. And so Adam, the first human, ends up creating division. The new Adam, Christ, is the firstborn of the new creation of grace in which no division exists. So Paul loves to point that out. In Christ, there are no divisions. There's no Jew and Greek. There's no male or female. There's no left and right, old and young. All are one in Christ Jesus. And here in this letter to the Colossians, Paul is pointing out that he is the source of this unity because he comes from God and he is the image of the invisible God. To look on him is to see who God is, and it's about unity. But it's also through the blood of his cross, Paul says. He has brought this unity through the cross. So it looks like suffering. It looks like self-offering. It looks like giving to the death. Loving endlessly without any conditions or reservations all the way to the death. And so Christian churches are marked by signs of this. Crucifixes. You know, there's always a crucifix somewhere in a Catholic church. Quite often, associated with the altar, which is a sacrificial altar, is the image of the lamb, the sacrificial lamb. Another favorite image of mine is the pelican. The pelican image is an image for Eucharist, and it comes from a legend, and the legend goes like this. The male pelican comes back to the nest, and the young there start jumping and screaming at him because they think he's bringing food, and they startle him, and he kills them. The mother pelican comes back to the nest, finds them dead. She pecks her own breast until it bleeds. The blood flowing out, they are nourished by the blood. They are brought back to life, but she dies. She bleeds to death. It becomes an image of Christ. He gives his blood, you know, the blood and water flowing from the side of Christ as he hangs upon the cross is a life-giving. He dies so that we might live. So these are symbols that speak what we are all about as Christians, that we're all about self-offering, that we're all about dying so that life can happen. So if you understand that, then that creates a context for that gospel story about the Good Samaritan. So this scribe asked Jesus a question to test him. Now the scribes and the Pharisees, they're always testing Jesus. They're not really asking a question. They're saying, I want to judge your answer so that I can see where you stand on this issue. And so he says, who is my neighbor? And Jesus, as he so often does, turns the question around. And after telling the story, he says, who of these three was neighbor to the man? Now, the question that Jesus was asked is, who is my neighbor? But Jesus turns it around and says, who can you be neighbor to? It's not a matter of who was the neighbor, but who acted like a neighbor. Who reached out beyond the divisions, beyond the immediate need, and takes care of the man. Well, you know, Jews and Samaritans were enemies for generations. They didn't like each other at all. And so Jesus often tells stories about Samaritans. He's stretching them beyond their comfort zone. You even must like Samaritans. Oh, how gross is that, you know? He's challenging them outside their comfort zone. Since original sin, we humans who originated in unity have created divisions. We divide the world into us and them, Christians and Muslims, Christians and Buddhists, male and female, left and right, different ideologies. We have a hard time even dialoguing with each other, and it just seems to get worse and worse. And the answer is this union in Christ, this original unity that we had, that is not all that difficult. Even Moses knew this centuries before Christ. And so that first reading, Moses says, this is written on your hearts. It's already in your mouths and on your hearts. This isn't something up in the sky where you have to send somebody up there to find it so that you can obey it. It's already there. It's not across the ocean, so you have to send somebody across the ocean to bring it back to you so that you can obey it. It's already on your hearts. You come from this. This is original unity because you are an image of God just like Christ. You were created, Genesis says, in the image of God. And so trust your heart, not your mind. Separation, division, is learned. It's taught. It isn't originally there. Each of us were one with our mother's body for those 9 months in the womb. And we had to learn, even after we were outside the womb, we had to learn over weeks that we were somehow separate from her. And then we begin to meet other people, and the divisions begin to build, but they're all learned. It's not innate. Union, unity is innate because it comes from the image of God. One of my favorite stories about this. Years ago, I was in Junction and teaching at St. X High School, and there was an African-American man, Leon, who taught with me, and we became friends, and we used to do our laundry together. Back in those days, the rectory didn't have a washing machine, so I had to go out and do this on a laundromat. We're talking the dark ages here, okay? The rectory wasn't air-conditioned either. I mean, So anyway, Leon and I used to do our laundry together sometimes in this laundromat, and one day, there was this little, well, let's say 5-year-old, and Leon was very conversational, so he engages this kid in conversation. And so after a while, the boy says, "Who's he?" pointing to me. And Leon said, "Oh, that's my brother." And I said, "Yeah, we're twins, can't you tell?" And he looked back and forth to the two of us, and he says, "No, he wears glasses." You see, at that age, he hadn't been taught division. He hadn't been taught that there's a distinction between black and white. It was all one to him. But he learned eventually, I'm sure. Moses, Jesus, they're both saying, follow your heart. Follow that original unity that was in God and is in you, even if you don't know it.